morning, everyone. It's kind of a partly cloudy day. We had a little burst of summer return yesterday to the tri-state area, but we're about to head into the fall and winter months, and that can often mean the doldrums for some people, and that means depression can creep into our lives, especially if you have seasonal affective disorder. And so we've got an expert here today, Barb Baker-Chapin from Transitions and Transition Treats. People with diseases like depression, and we're going to talk today all about depression. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
You look bright and cheery in your bright red outfit with your little kitty cats all over it, so that's one way not to be depressed.
There
you go.
Wear
something bright and cheerful. But let's talk about depression and about the services offered at Transitions, and I'm just going to let you take it away because we've been doing this so long. You are a font of knowledge.
Well, depression, it's October, it's Depression Awareness Month, so we're really wanting to, you know, get the message out that depression does occur. It is a very common disorder that affects mood and affects thousands of people in our country every year.
Including me.
And so we want people to be aware of the signs, the symptoms, and more importantly, we want them to be aware of the fact that it's a very treatable illness. And about 80% of people who are suffering from depression who seek help will improve. And that is a really significant statistic. So if people are struggling with depression, or when we talk about signs and symptoms, if they can identify that they have some of those, the real important message here is, you know, go get some help because it will help.
Now, of course, sometimes if there's a death in the family or we lose our job, or there's some trauma in our life, it's natural to be sad. But depression is more a listlessness. And it's not that you've lost the will to live, but you just, I just don't care. I want to stay in bed. I want to sleep. I just don't want to do anything. I'm just depressed.
Right.
And when that goes on for week after week, that's more of a chemical imbalance than true sadness. Sadness is something that's an emotion that will come upon us every once in a while, but doesn't stay for months at a time.
That's exactly right. You know, there's a difference between the blues and depression. And all of us experience the blues during our lives. And typically, if we're feeling the blues, those kinds of feelings last a few days. And generally, we have some coping skills. For some of us, it's going out and shopping. And for others of us, it's, you know, laying around the house for a bit and resting. For
eating
others,
ice cream right out of the quart container,
well,
or watching TV, or
watching
just being a slug.
Yeah, or calling and going out to lunch with a friend. Those kinds of things generally help us when we have the blues. They help us feel better. But if you find that you're feeling sad, you're feeling low in energy, life has no joy in it anymore, and those kinds of feelings persist not just for days, but for weeks, and then interfere with your abilities to live your life. They may interfere with your abilities to function at work. They may interfere with your abilities to parent. They may interfere with relationships with others. Then that's an indication that it's something more than the blues, and it's likely clinical depression.
Clinical depression can be treated, but first it has to be diagnosed. Now, this is where some intriguing things come in. I get calls every time I do a show about depression. I'll get a phone call. I am afraid to go get help because I don't want to lose my firearm owner's ID card. I don't want to have anything flagged on my personal history that I have a mental illness. I'm afraid my employer will find out, or, you know, whatever. Let's talk about the factual things of that. Getting help for depression will not prevent you from carrying a firearm owner's ID card, will it?
Well, if people seek outpatient services, such as the services at Transitions, or speak with their family physician, speak with a clergy person in regard to depression, there is no risk of that. Services are confidential and, you know, are not communicated to anybody without that person's consent. Certainly, if they have insurance, that may be reported to, you know, insurance carrier if they wish to have services paid for by an insurance carrier. But no, outpatient services do not place a
firearm. So don't worry about that. There's really no, it's more harmful not to seek help than it is to seek help. Because why suffer with depression, which unless you've ever had it. See, it's really easy for me to talk about it because I have it. And to say I have it, that means today I would have the symptoms of it, but I take a medication mm-hmm. that alters my chemistry in my brain and gives me a little bit of an elevation in my mood.
Mm-hmm.
So I know exactly what depression feels like, but I don't have it now. But I may always have it if I don't take my medicine. So really what is amazing is how sometimes people can take medicine for as little as a month or 3 months and the chemical balance is restored and they're off of it.
Yes.
And then other people might have to take doses in the winter but not the summer. I'm kind of one of those people. Or some people may take it year-round, a low dose, just to give you a minimum base from which you will not fall below. Because
right.
nobody wants to be depressed. It's not something people desire.
The feelings of depression are awful. And if you speak to people, like you have mentioned, if to feel hopeless, to feel like you kind of have this black cloud over your head, to feel that there's no joy in life, and to feel that things will never change. Those are horrible feelings.
And the bottom line is, it has no bearing on reality. Because mm-hmm. I have many things to be joyful about. I have great things in my life. It has nothing to do with reality. Depression is a chemical imbalance in your head. So things that should make you happy might make you happy momentarily, but that won't have any lasting effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's, we're not masking our emotions. I mean, if I lose a friend, I still cry at their funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say, oh, well, I don't feel anything because I take this medication. No, you still feel sad, which is appropriate.
Right.
But you don't want to lay in bed all day and mm-hmm. not do anything for months at a time, which is not good.
Mm-hmm.
And the solution is so simple. Now let's talk about the treatment of this, because people need to go find out if they are depressed and then get some treatment for it. There are many different kinds of treatment. Talking with other people can help. There's a chemical aspect of it, but there's also a working it out kind of aspect of it too. The depression may be triggered by something that you're really not aware that is affecting you.
Right. Some people, the depression occurs and they can't identify that there are any life problems or stressors that have contributed to it. In other situations, people have sometimes suffered a number of losses in their life. They may have lost somebody that they love. They may have lost a job. They may have lost their financial security. They may have lost self-respect or self-esteem, and all of those losses together result in them feeling depressed and hopeless about their lives. So while there is this chemical imbalance, medications can be very effective, and there are very, very effective medications today for the treatment of depression.
Very much so.
And then counseling and talk therapy is also helpful for those whose depression is a result of those kinds of life stressors that I mentioned. Talking with somebody and talking about the situations in their lives and finding alternatives can be very, very helpful. And then, a third treatment is electroconvulsive therapy. And many people think, oh my goodness.
Flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Right.
It's not that way.
No, it is not that way. And it can be very effective for those people who have a serious depression, and medication and therapy have just not been successful in improving their mood. And it can be very, very effective in those kinds of situations. And so that is another type of treatment that is available.
And don't be scared that the minute you walk in and say, I'm feeling a little depressed, they're going to immediately hook you up to something like that. I mean, there is a series of things that can be done. Another thing that's really interesting, and this can lead to low-grade depression or confusion, really, we just had a family event this last week, and we all were out in Pittsburgh for my little cousin's wedding, and it was great, an Irish festival to beat all bands, with some Slovakian on her husband's side thrown in. It was fun. But I was talking to one of my cousins, and he said, I never thought my mom and dad's divorce when I was 6 affected me at all. And I almost started laughing. He goes, but now that I'm grown up, I've received some therapy, and I know that it did have an effect on me. And I'm like, yeah, duh.
Uh-huh.
I mean, sometimes there's something that's getting to us underneath our subconscious that we do need to kind of, let's identify this and get this over with once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't change the event, but you can change how you react to the memory of the event.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, many people who come to us at Transitions are struggling with issues from their past and from their childhood. And, you know, all of us throughout our lives have experienced a variety of things. And some of those are traumatic, but we kind of, you know, put it aside or don't deal with it. And it may, in fact, affect us in some way. And we work with many adults who are struggling with some of those issues from the past.
And you don't have to lay on a couch for years, every week for years, to get to the bottom of this. Most people can, with certain types of therapies that are, you know, non-invasive and very interesting, and I've been through a few of them myself, and they're fascinating, can get right down to it pretty darn quick. Can
you know,
figure
the,
out what the problem is.
The services that we provide at Transitions are, our behavioral health services, our counseling services, tend to be pretty short-term. You know, we have people come in, and probably the average number of visits is 7 to 10 visits. And in that time, you know, we're able to help people talk about what's going on, help them identify some alternatives and some strategies to cope with things. They feel better, and they leave. And so it doesn't, you know, have to be long-term treatment at all.
No, but it doesn't have to be long-term treatment. But don't be surprised. I mean, go for help. And if you find out that it's something you would have never thought a thing about. I mean, I've had some breakthroughs on things. Again, that didn't affect me. Oh, really? It didn't? Well, I guess it did, because it all came up all of a sudden, you know. And it was... You know, again, it doesn't have to be anything for you. What's traumatic for you may not be traumatic for another person. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to get, you know, you don't have to think like I'm going to sit on the psychiatrist's couch the rest of my life and talk about my toilet training or, you know, stuff like that. I mean, basically, once you hit those trigger points and you kind of figure out, oh, that's why I feel that way. Not that it's good or it's bad. It's just the why.
And an understanding.
And then you can go on and say, okay, I felt that way. I literally did feel that way when I was 5, but I'm not 5 anymore, and those circumstances don't exist. So now I can use my cognitive, intelligent, adult brain to say, when you feel that way, it's a memory of something bad that happened, and it's true, and you can't change it, but it's not happening now, and it doesn't have to keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, I sound like I'm a doctor. I guess it's because I've been shrunk so many times by so many people looking into the psyche of Mary Griffith that, wow, you know. But again, things I really thought bothered me, like I'd go in kind of with a preconceived notion. Okay, here it comes. I'm going to get this all out about XYZ, and it's ABC. And I'm like, well, what about XYZ? They said, that's not your problem. So get some help. Get some professional help for your problems. We're going to take a real quick break. And while we go to break, we're going to give you a little preview of what we're going to be talking about in the next segment of the Mary Griffith Show. A gentleman named Mark Bishop is coming to the Golden Windmill this weekend, and he's going to be doing a gospel music concert. And so here is some of what that sounds like. A little Mark Bishop music.
Just take a look around and see what a mess this world is in for you and me. Though it may seem the times are bad, but there's a reason I'm not crying, there's a reason I'm not sad. I can rejoice, I can rejoice when I'm feeling down. Can lift my voice when the skies begin to rain. I won't complain. I have a choice, for I have Jesus in my heart. I can rejoice. Gonna live by faith, not by sight. Gonna leave the darkness and start living in the light. Gonna trust His word. Gonna watch and pray. All the worry in my heart can't change the outcome anyway. I can rejoice.
That's a little bit of Mark Bishop, and we'll hear more from him in the next half hour.
they were casting off relics from life's other side.
Again, that is Mark Bishop singing there, and we will hear from him. He's on the phone line waiting. And so we're going to wrap it up here with Barb Baker-Chapin from Transitions. Barb, we've established what depression is. There's different forms of depression. We're not here to diagnose people over the radio, but we are here to tell people that this is Awareness Month for depression, and there is help available. And there is medication, and I'm telling you, folks, the magic of the blue pill or whatever color they give you, you cannot imagine how that can change your life. I mean, you take cholesterol medication and you get your blood drawn every 6 months and you see it, but you don't feel it every day. I'm like, oh, my arteries are clear today. But when you take medication for a chemical imbalance in your brain, you know it within 2 or 3 weeks. Why didn't I do this sooner? So how can they get help?
Certainly there's many resources in the community that are available. Transition certainly is one of those resources. We have outpatient mental health services and counseling services available. We also have psychiatric services available so that a person can be evaluated, and if they need medication services, those medications can be ordered for them. So we urge people, if they're struggling with depression, or if they have a family member who's maybe depressed, that they or their family members come for services. Transition's phone number is 217-223-0413. Our services are available to people on a walk-in basis, Monday through Friday from 8 in the morning until about 3:30 in the afternoon. A person can just walk into Transitions without an appointment. They will be seen and services can be started. So there is no wait to come in. If you decide today is the day I need to go get help, then walk into Transitions and you'll be seen and we can begin services.
Okay. You don't have to spend the holidays all depressed and moping about. You can call Transitions today and they'll get you in today. And you can start on your treatment program. Barb, always a great lift to my spirits to see you.
Thank you.
So I don't know when our paths will cross again, but happy Halloween, happy Thanksgiving, happy Christmas, and I'll see you the next time. There's something great to talk about at Transitions, which could be any time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lord, take me back to the place where I first beheld your face, where I first discovered you, where forgiveness was brand new. Lord, take me back.
Boy, that's a song that I hate to not hear the rest of, shall we say, because we have to talk to the man who's singing that song, Mark Bishop. Mark joins us via the phone lines. Good morning, Mark Bishop.
Good morning, Mary. How are you today?
I am wonderful. I have to ask you the all-important question in my inquisitive investigative reporter mind.
Okay.
To sing gospel music, must you have the thick, lustrous, full head of hair? Are there any bald gospel singers?
That's funny that you would say that. But, you know, there are a few bald-headed guys, but it's funny. I don't have a bald head. Well, unless I'm leaving you. If I'm coming towards you, I've got a full head of hair.
Well, you've got I'm looking at your picture straight on, and you've got the typical, what I call the typical Southern gospel, full head of hair.
You know, a guy did an album interview here recently in one of the local newspapers, and he said, I love this guy's music, but he looks like a TV weatherman.
Hey, well, our TV weathermen are kind of cute, so there's nothing wrong with that. You are going to be in concert, Southern Gospel Music at its best, this Saturday night, October 22nd, at the Golden Windmill at 6 o'clock. That's when the concert begins. You're going to have a free will love offering, so it really doesn't cost anything to get into the venue. They do have concessions and stuff that will be for sale. And, of course, I know that the organizers are trying to at least cover the nut, as they say, in the rock and roll business. By the way, Michael Martin and Curtis Post are sitting here in the studio. They say they're going to be quiet and not interject unless there's something that you don't know the answer to. So,
okay.
But if you don't know the answer, they're here to cover you. So,
great. I need that.
This is great. Tell us a little bit about yourself in the terms of touring. Have you ever, for example, been in this area previously singing at any time?
Well, I've sung in Illinois down through the years at different places, but I've never sung in a windmill. I don't think this will be a first in 30 years. I've been traveling and singing gospel music for over 30 years. I write my own kind of a singer-songwritery type, James Taylor-ish, Paul Simon, I guess, version of that in gospel music is what I like to do. And I traveled for quite a few years with my dad and my brother, and we had a band and everything, a family group called the Bishops. And we sang 4 days a week, every week for about 17 years. So we probably sang in that area, but I couldn't tell you exactly where.
Well, the interesting thing about the windmill, we're glad you're coming, but now you're actually in the hall next to the windmill. You're not going to be up at the top having to dodge the wheel every time it goes around, okay?
I'm a little disappointed.
That would put a vibrato in your voice. You know, every time that wheel went around, every time that fan blade went around, you'd get a little vibrato.
You know, just on TV the other night, I was watching a movie about a windmill. They were chasing this Frankenstein creature up into it, and they set it on fire. So.
Well, don't do that.
I hope that doesn't happen this Saturday.
We have spent a whole lot of money restoring that golden windmill, but you will enjoy the look of it. I mean, it's a working windmill, and it used to be what all the farmers, that's how they ground their grain. And
wow.
That community, this whole area around here, has a deep faith tradition. And I think that there will be a lot of people who will want to come and hear your message. It's interesting with the name Bishop. If you're named Bishop, you almost have to go into some kind of ministry field, don't you?
It's funny. Even though I would say that this music's predominantly Protestant, I've sung in some Catholic venues before, and I think whenever they would see our bus coming into town with the bishops wrote on it, they thought maybe this was a surprise inspection or something.
Yeah, that would be a quick clean up the chalice and get everything good. But, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned the Protestant aspect of Southern gospel music, and I love it, and I happen to be a Catholic. It is interesting because praise and worship music, and I think that's what Southern gospel music is praise and worship music. Praise and worship music can be rap, it can be country, it can be rock and roll, it can be anything. And so it's very important that parents maybe encourage their kids to listen to praise and worship music, even if perhaps it's not Southern gospel, because you don't want them listening to not praise and worship music when it's rap, that's for sure.
Well, certainly you want to have a positive influence on your kids, and you're right. The gospel message is available and stylistically in any style of music that you would enjoy listening to. And I happen to enjoy messages that just get straight to the point, and I love the harmony and love the chord structure of this particular kind of music, but in a lot of ways, it's also close to like a folk music or an acoustic praise and worship kind of music. So we enjoy trying to present a music that appeals to a broad range of ages.
Now, when we're playing your CD here on the radio station, we hear, you know, a lot of accompaniment, even background singers. When Mark Bishop comes in concert at the Golden Windmill Saturday night at 6, who is with you, or is it an acoustic show?
No, just in this particular program, it's just going to be me. It's just going to be a solo date. And now I do travel and do some dates. As a matter of fact, I take my daughters with me some places, and we have a little band called Mark Bishop and Forget the Sea. But this particular date will just be me, and we'll be kind of relaxed, and I'll be telling some of the stories behind some of the songs, where they came from, and just be a relaxing evening. But I believe that folks will be inspired by the messages.
Well, definitely when you take the girls on the bus trip with you, don't pull up to a Catholic church with the bishop and his daughters, or you are going to cause all kinds of problems. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So this is basically Christian praise music in the Southern gospel style. You have won Song of the Year. You've won Soloist of the Year. Thank you for sending me a copy of your CD. I really appreciate it. Mike Martin picked out his favorite tracks, and that's what I've been playing this morning. But I love having praise music in my music library here at the radio station, because I think it uplifts everyone. How often, when we hear a song on the radio, would it be by Mark Bishop as the songwriter as opposed to the singer? Do you do more songwriting for other people, or do you mostly just songwrite for yourself?
Well, I do, but of course it's within this genre of music. I haven't written too many Halloween songs recently, but if you enjoy this style of music, and folks that are familiar with Southern gospel music have probably maybe heard some of my songs by some other groups and quartets, Kingsmen and Legacy Five and Brian Free and Assurance, and and a lot of different ones, I guess, have recorded my songs down through the years, but I never write with the intention of someone else recording it. I just write what I feel in my heart, my spirit, and it's amazing how when you write a song that feels very personal, that other people can relate to that, and it just shows that we share a common experience. But I love it when other groups pick up some of my songs and record them. I love hearing those songs interpreted with a different voice.
Well, the You Can't Ask Too Much of My God, I see here in your press release, was number one across the nation in the gospel music, and you got Soloist of the Year in 2005. And so you really have made your mark on this genre of music. When you're not traveling to places like Golden on a Saturday night to share with folks there, where do you call home, and is this indeed what you do for a living, or is there something else that turns the that pays the bills?
No, I've been doing this for a living since 1987, I guess, when our family, we had up to that point been singing just a little bit on weekends places, and then we had some songs that started showing up in the national charts, and we really just kind of backed into it. But the Lord blessed us to go in that direction, and I've enjoyed it ever since. Now, I call home in a town called Irvine, Kentucky, a little town, zip code E-I-E-I-O, how big Irvine is, and have lived here, well, just pretty close to all of my life within a 30-mile radius, I guess. And we resisted the temptation a long time ago to move to Nashville, where the record company was at and the booking agency was at and all the talent to record albums. And we wanted to really focus on staying grounded and connected and to all of our families here. And family is very important to us, all of the moms and dads, brothers, sisters, cousins. We want to stay close and stay connected. So I think, and I think that's reflected even in the music. We write a lot about family in our songs.
Well, I think so. And, you know, it's interesting because with the modern communications of Internet and MP3 and all this, you can be in the tiniest town, in the tiniest place, and still, you know, you can get your stuff to Nashville, or you can make a quick trip to Nashville if you have to physically be there. But you don't necessarily have to have a big city life. And it is kind of amusing. A lot of, especially country stars who started out in little podunk towns playing at the Bar and Grill, are now multimillionaires traveling on jets, and you often wonder how do they keep the inspiration for their lifestyle songs of the country when they haven't had that lifestyle for 10 years. So you still live the lifestyle is what you're saying.
Well, I do, but that's just, you know, my favorite television show has always been the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yeah, everybody's, yeah.
And I love small-town life. I love knowing the fellow that's cutting my hair and hanging out at the barber shop, and I love going to the little general store for lunch and getting a big ham sandwich with a slice of tomato. And, all of those things are just very important to me, and I've never been a flashy kind of person, I don't suppose. So it's not hard for me to stay grounded. I think even if the Lord were to bless me with millions of dollars, I'd probably end up giving most of it away and just still living a more simple life that just appeals to me.
Well, good. You can send some of that to me here at
WTMD
Radio.
Okay.
I was going
to
say,
forward your address.
So, Mark, just to give you a heads up that I'm a pretty big Andy Griffith fan myself, I guess you're not going to join the Esquire Club in Rolla anytime soon, then, is
no,
what you're saying.
No, I don't know if they would. Me and Barney would be on the outs with them the whole time.
That's so good. We're talking with Mark Bishop. He's going to be in concert October 22nd at the Golden Windmill. It's a 6 o'clock start, and I applaud you for that because, you know, a lot of times older folks, and I know you want people of all ages to come to your concert, but a lot of time older folks and country folks, 8 o'clock's our bedtime. So when people start their concerts at 9, you know, a lot of times it doesn't have a very good turnout because farm folk, we're home and in bed by the time most people are getting going with their crazy rock and roll music, as they say. So a nice touch at a 6 o'clock start. Is that calculated on your part, or is that something that Michael Martin put you up to?
I remember discussing it with Mike, what he thought would be the best start time, and I, of course, have no trouble starting at 6 o'clock. That's fine with me anyway. And, two, it's important for us. A lot of our folks that will come to the concert on Saturday night we'll be getting up and going to church Sunday morning, too.
Let's hope so.
So it makes it easier for them to do that, too.
My guest today is Mark Bishop. He's appearing in concert October 22nd at the Golden Windmill. Again, there is absolutely no charge for this show. They will take a free will love offering, but you don't have to contribute if you don't want to. Maybe you need to have your heart touched to buy some praise and worship music, and this would be great for you. They will also be selling sandwiches and other concessions during the concert and before the concert. So definitely if you want to make that part of your Saturday night, that would be fantastic. But there's no requirement there. Mark, I'm going to let you give the last minute here. I'm going to let you give a real good commercial. Why should people come out and see you Saturday night at 6 o'clock at the Golden Windmill?
Well, who doesn't like music, you know, and who doesn't like to be encouraged and inspired? And that's what this music does, and that's why I've always been in love with this kind of music. There's all kinds of music in the world, but there's something special about gospel music, I think, that encourages instead of discourages. And Lord knows, if you're listening to the news, I'm sure you guys are playing the news at the top of every hour, and most of it feels like it's bad news, I'd say.
Yeah, we need a little good news today, that is for sure. Well, Mark Bishop, safe travel to our community, and I hope you have a great turnout there at the Golden Windmill Hall. You are going to be impressed with what that little town has been able to do with the restoration of that windmill and the upkeep on that hall. I think you're going to be very pleased at the venue they're giving you to perform in. So thank you very much for your time this morning.
I can't wait to see it. Thanks, Mary.